Yep.
I have some things too.
Oh, good.
If you wanted. If you run out of things. Okay. Do you want Z or X?
I'll go with X this time.
Okay.
Do they turn this on?
You're not gonna say it. Somebody should.
Did you do Z last time?
Let's talk about two times.
I did one and then did the other.
Let's talk about fun one, yeah. Asking the questions that nobody could.
I was just gonna be impressed.
Like, where are the bone dogs in?
Which you had done.
Are they in harmony?
I think it's also because I think I listened to that episode yesterday. So it's not like I remembered just because we recorded it, but because I listened to it very recently.
It was fresh in your brains.
Right.
Well, welcome, everybody, to an episode.
Yeah.
402.
I know.
We're really doing it.
Yeah, it'll get to 500 in about maybe 98 episodes.
Crawling our way to 500.
Yeah, I mean, it'll take a while, because I'm guessing there'll be some October in the way, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Pot-a-ween is not that far off.
That takes four, yeah. It's like 4 months?
I think so. The strange part is that episode 300, I'm looking at the vinyl in the new Helpful Snow Fort.
Yeah.
I also have the other vinyl of it.
Yeah.
Still haven't listened to it.
Damn it. I don't know if anyone's actually listened to one of these
Right.
I guess I don't know who would have. If you haven't and I haven't.
Then I don't think yours is in the easiest place to like take it out and listen to it.
Mm-mm. Yeah, it's probably never been heard.
Yeah, so I think that, like, the only person who knows about it is the person who's recorded it.
That's true. Yeah. I'm the only one who knows what's on it.
Exactly.
Ask me if I remember what's on it.
Do you remember what's on it?
Vaguely.
Vaguely.
I know there was part where I talked a little bit about famous records.
Mm.
Or like famous weird records.
Mm-hmm.
So like I remember, I think I talked about the gold records that were on the Voyager or whatever. That's
the gold records that were on the Voyager. Like, are you saying
the
like
space probe?
Oh,
because there's
okay.
A literal like a record, like a disc.
Yeah, it's made out of gold.
Yeah, and it's got information on it. Like, I think it's a playable disc.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think there was one that was like some band made one where there was a mold and you could make a record out of ice. So you filled the mold with water
right.
And then put it in the freezer and then you could put it on a turntable to destroy your turntable, I guess.
Mm.
And probably sounds like shit. And then there was another one. There's maybe a chocolate one or something.
I've heard of the chocolate one.
Yeah.
Oddly enough, there's no chocolate rain put on vinyl in chocolate. Chocolate record. Like, that seems like that would fit.
I think there was one that somehow involved pee, but I can't really remember.
I also like the idea of having chocolate rain on vinyl, because when I think of like a vinyl listening experience,
yeah,
I kind of imagine, I mean, this is also maybe a thing about where I see a lot of video game soundtracks are coming out on vinyl.
Yeah.
And I can like a video game soundtrack, but I think of like listening to a vinyl experience. It's not like, I don't imagine listening to vinyl like while I'm doing dishes or running around the house.
Yeah.
It's
like while you're listening to it.
Like, I'm sort of sitting in a very plush chair. I maybe have like a, you know, a brandy in my hand, snifter sort of swirling it about. I put on the record and, you know, put on the record player and I sit and sort of reflect.
Yeah. And it'd be chocolate rain.
And it just chocolate rain comes on.
I put in a thing that just said old fucked up music into like YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
Just to see what came up, but it wasn't what I wanted.
Oh.
I wanted, like, you know, because Chocolate Rain kind of sounds to me like some weird rendition of, like, an old song.
Right.
Like, I don't know. There's just something weird about it.
There's just something of, yeah, like, it has a feeling like you would play that along with a song like John the Revelator.
Yeah, or like,
Tell me who's that riding John the Revelator.
Here's what I was thinking of.
He's typing in something.
I heard this on another podcast before.
Mm.
This is a song called Buttermilk Hill by an artist named Herta Marshall.
There I sat on Buttermilk
Can you just imagine you're sitting listening to this on vinyl?
You're just sitting around there, like. I feel like if I was listening to this, I'd be like in a rocking chair.
Yes.
In a Quentin Tarantino movie or Robert Rodriguez movie.
I was going to say, this is destined for that kind of movie.
Right.
Just wait, this is where it gets real. Her voice, like, distorts the audio.
Me and I love him so.
And that's, yeah, that feels like it's going to cut away. There's like a lizard walking slowly through a desert. Rocking chair. A car is driving real fast.
Someone's dying on the roadside.
There's like a, there's definitely a nice new car, and it's going to have something like this that says, fuck you, on the side of it.
Oh, Quentin Tarantino. Will you ever learn?
Well, no. The answer is no.
Right, that's enough. Herta Marshall. Well, that's Herta Marshall, Buttermilk Hill.
That's right.
Herta plays the hits.
You're getting all, you know, this is gradually becoming a music show.
Can you imagine if you, like, you're, I don't know when that was out, the 50s or something, you came home and someone had, your parents bought a record and they put it on and that's what you're hearing and you're just like, why did we pay money
why
for this?
Why did we buy this?
Yeah. I can't believe we paid to have this experience in our lives.
I think it's kind of the thing that I remember hearing about, like, in the 50s or, like, right when television was first invented, how it mostly showed, like, opera and dancing and things.
Yeah.
Because they thought, like, with a new medium, it would be, it would make people more classy and sophisticated.
Oh, sure.
You know, like, we're going to make, everyone will be educated with this thing.
Yeah.
And that lasted for about, like, 2 years.
Yeah, and then they're like, what if we showed, like, naked people and weird
what if
people
we showed
shooting each
utter
other?
Garbage?
Yeah. What if we use this also for crap?
Right.
We can put crap anywhere.
I'm saying we have three channels. We could put opera on one of the channels and then crap on one of the channels and then a little of both on the other channel.
And let's just see what happens. And then they're like, okay, so crap channel's doing amazing. Opera channel, everyone hates it. Mixed channel, everyone also hates it.
Yeah, like no one's satisfied with the mixed channel.
No.
Everyone is deeply unhappy.
Yeah, and who wants to, like, watch? This is something I never understood, is, like, watching opera, like, on TV.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't even get it in person. I had a coworker whose spouse was, like, a professional opera singer, and I was just like, that might be one of the worst. You know, I've talked on this show before about, like, what would be the worst sport for your kid to join?
Mm-hmm.
Which I never get good answers when I ask people this hypothetical.
Cricket.
Well, that's not realistic.
I picked that because it's like, that's, you know, the game can be super duper long. And if there's one thing that's an enemy of, it's like, as soon as, you know, the difference is, like, if you have your kids join sports versus joining, like, music or a play.
Uh-huh.
Is that with sports, you can see the clock going down. So you can see when you get to kind of go home.
Yeah,
you know,
but that's
with
not
music,
always a good thing.
Yeah, with music, you're not always sure. You're like, is there more? Is this it?
I think the thing is you got to consider some different factors. Mm-hmm. And people never, they're just like, oh, I don't know, my kid should just do whatever. And I'm like, no. I'm asking for you as a parent, what's the sport that you would most dislike? Just from the perspective of, like, you know, and then people will say, oh, football, because they'll get whatever. And I'm like, that's not what I'm asking you. I'm asking you, all things being equal to your kid, what would be the one that's the most painful? For example, if you said baseball, I'd be like, okay, because they'll probably end up playing one of these fucking traveling teams, and you're going to spend your entire summer in an RV in the parking lots of, you know, the American Midwest.
You're going to start off thinking, like, oh, I could get an RV. You know, you'll think, I'll get an RV. But then you're like, you know what? I could save a little bit of money. We can do this. I'm going to get, like, you know, a minivan. And we're going to just sleep in a minivan?
No, you would not do that.
I'm not saying I would do that, but I can see someone having this plan.
You'd have to be so dumb, because, like, if I was in there alone, sure.
Right.
But, like, your kid's there, your spouse is there, you probably have another kid. And it's like, it's just the thing. Okay, so baseball sucks because there's a million games, you're traveling around all summer, and that's basically, you're traveling for the year is going to different ball fields in towns like Greeley, Colorado. Right. Like, that is how you're spending your summer vacation.
You're looking forward to the Greeley, Colorados, because you're like, oh, this is a nice big town, but...
I've had my 120th Jimmy John's sandwich this summer.
Jimmy John's what you have on the good days.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, is like, well, we look for a Jimmy John's if we can find it. Okay.
We can't sit it... We can't get a hotel room because it's not in our budget, so we'll just drive overnight.
Mm-hmm. So, that's the down of baseball. Mm-hmm. Plus, you're watching your kid play baseball. It's like 90% of the time they're not even doing anything.
Right.
Okay, but then you think about like, well, all right, but maybe swimming is worse. They do seem to do just as many swim meets as like baseball games. It's loud as fuck in there. Right. It's humid. It stinks. You got all this stinky clothes and shit. And then your kid might swim for 2 minutes at 8 a.m., and then 2 more minutes at 3 p.m.
Right.
And then you're just like, well, here we are.
This is the thing. This is what we're doing.
Yeah.
You're sitting around in a gym where the only thing to really do is watch people swim or swim.
Yeah.
And you can't swim.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, football, I think the main disadvantage there is like, okay, so if I'm at a swim meet.
Right.
I could bring a book.
Yeah.
And, you know, just pay attention while my kid's doing whatever. I don't feel like that would work at a football game. Like, you'd go and half the people would stand the entire game.
I would say football also has the most likely combination of inclement weather and being outside.
It's like, a pretty bad.
If you have baseball, if it's like raining a little bit, you're like, nope, we're not doing it. You know, you're just not doing it. Basketball, you're in, like, swimming, you're inside.
Yeah. Right?
Most of the time, like, if you're doing a swim meet, you might be inside.
Yeah.
Football, you're going to be sitting outside freezing your balls off and also kind of bored. So you're going to have to deal with the climate.
Yeah. Well, then you got to think about, too, which sports are the worst to watch on the amateur level.
Mm.
This is where things like music and plays come in.
Mm-hmm.
Because I feel like, for example, watching a track meet where they're all amateurs, but they're all about the same.
Right.
So... you know, you're not like necessarily watching. It's not like you're watching an Olympic athlete versus a high schooler.
Right.
And so you're just like, Jesus Christ. You're like watching high schoolers versus each other. So there's still some action. But like in a play, you know, it's definitely amateur theater.
Right.
I mean, and you've got like some 14-year-old kid who's supposed to be Falstaff or whatever. And you're like, oh, God.
The amateur sports can resemble, at least, you know, superficially, the professional version.
Because everyone's on the same level.
Right.
It's like mini sports.
Well, there's also a thing, though, in a way that amateur sports can be more interesting to watch than professional ones. Because, like, and this, you're making a grimacing face.
Yeah,
but let me try to sell you
on
this one.
It, but
right?
Okay.
Part of it is, like, if you watch professional sports, sometimes the teams are such well-oiled machines.
Yeah.
You're just watching two well-oiled machines really sort of bang against each other and try to work out small advantages. But if you don't know that much about the sport, like if you know football enough to be able to watch like plays being set up and things like that, then the professional thing is good. But if you're a real casual fan, you're just kind of like, I want weird stuff to happen. In an amateur thing can be like weird stuff will happen. Like, someone will overthrow, someone will be in the wrong position. Sometimes, you know, there'll be a fumble and then another fumble. Like the things that just don't happen when you get to a professional level, like that's been sort of, you know, gradually phased out as people move up. So sometimes in an amateur sport, you can get more weird stuff.
I'll give you this. I was going to a physical therapist for a while and I was asking him like, where do you see the most injuries? And his number one was, you know, drunken softball.
Okay,
like,
yeah.
You know, you have your work softball league, and he's like, basically because everyone's drunk. Mm-hmm. And so that does that. But he said his second most was, he's like, have you ever heard of these, like, amateur old man wrestling leagues? And I was like, no. And he was like, apparently, there are these, like, wrestling tournaments that are just sort of like, you just as a, you know, old dad just show up and you can wrestle someone of your similar weight class.
Wait, this just sounds like a fight club, basically.
Well, it is.
Like,
it's like
marginally more organized.
It's Olympic style wrestling.
Okay.
So it's not like pro wrestling or like MMA.
Right.
It's like actual technical wrestling, but he was like, you know, everybody gets injured at these because they're like 50 years old and they go out there on the mat like they're 17 and then, you know, they bend something backwards and that's that. But like, and so as soon as I heard about this, I was like, I gotta see if there's one around.
You have to, like, you're fascinated. You're like, I didn't know this existed, and now I have to go see it.
Yeah, like, there was this one. This one's the Bald and Fat Classic, is what it's called. I mean, and it's like, I just Googled old man amateur wrestling tournament. I mean, it's crazy. It's like a thing. Old guys wrestling tournaments. There you go. So it's like just freestyle wrestling tournaments, you know, with just old guys. And that I'm much more interested in than like a legitimate wrestling tournament.
Like, there's no way, if Olympic wrestling came on a TV and you were in a bar, you probably wouldn't watch it. Like, even if it was passively there. But old men.
100%.
100%.
I would rather watch that. I'd rather watch these, like, well, because it's like the appeal of like an old unfit guy. Now I would be disappointed if it was people who are like, I mean, you look like you got out of school 3 weeks ago, but you know, like, most of the guys on this little image look pretty fit, and I'm like, that's not the
like
same.
If it's an old man wrestling league and everyone's like 25, you're like, okay, that's not really old man.
But I like to see like pounds lost, 34,273. So it's like, this is also, I guess, like some old guy who's like, I want to see two old guys with beer guts,
right,
who haven't wrestled for 25 years and are drunk wrestle. Like that, yes.
So you want something that is kind of a very organized, I don't want to call it a bum fight, but.
Well, no one's going to get killed.
Right.
And like, I don't feel like they're being exploited well, they are, but they know it. Like, they know if you're in a wrestling tournament called Bald and Fat Classic,
right?
I don't think you have any illusions about the fact that you're like, that's what this is.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay. But yeah, so then, like, all right, you think about football.
Okay.
And I'd be a bad football parent because I wouldn't care. And so, you know, other people would be like, that guy's not even watching.
Mm-hmm.
But also, because, like, I just like the whole atmosphere of it would be a lot more problematic, as far as like just everybody else around you is really super into it. And you're just right. Like, I just got to sit here and like wait it out.
Mm-hmm.
So that would be horrible. I mean, none of the options are good in my mind.
I feel like football and hockey both have something in common that some of the other sports don't, is the massive amount of gear that someone has. And I'm not talking the expense, because the expense is also a problem, but the smell.
Yeah,
like
that is a problem.
Hockey pads, as you're someone who, you probably follow a hockey podcast or hockey stuff.
Yeah.
You know, for someone who's not a hockey fan, like a little bit. But I'm guessing they talk about like hockey pads and hockey bags smell terrible.
Well, when I go to the gym where I go to, Wednesday night is roller hockey night.
Mm-hmm.
So they like close off the basketball courts and make one big hockey rink.
Right.
And it stinks horribly.
Yes.
But I know why. It's because these people go play hockey. They get all sweaty. Mm-hmm. And then they just zip up all their shit back into their bag and it just rots for a week. And it's like still wet when they put it back on. And like the whole building stinks.
Right.
So yeah, to have that in the house would be horrible.
Mm-hmm.
Wrestling would be terrible because your kid would be like doing all the cutting weight and stuff and be a grumpy asshole.
Right.
And also like getting up at 4 a.m. to like go do what, and I would just hate that. But
your kid would make you feel lazy too.
Yeah, maybe. I think I would just be like, I don't know. This just seems dumb.
Right.
It just seems like a dumb sport. I'm biased, so as far as the one I would recommend or that I think would be the best as a parent,
right,
is cross country, because maximum half hour.
Yes,
that's if your kid sucks, they'll be on the trail for half an hour.
Right,
you only got to pay attention for 2 to 4 minutes of that half hour. And then as soon as they cross that finish line and they're done, you're like, hey, nice job. All right, peace out. I'm driving home. You take the bus home. I'll see you later.
Right.
That's it.
That you can actually show up. with cross country, you can actually show up late to their meets. And
they wouldn't even know.
The kid would barely know.
They wouldn't even know.
Right.
You could be like, oh, I don't know. I was walking around over there. I didn't find you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think that one's kind of a winner. Also, the meets are on like Friday afternoon / evening.
Right.
So it's a good excuse to leave work a little early. And then you're just like, oh, my kid's got a meet. So then you head out there. You're there for half hour. Then you just drive home.
It's usually outside and usually not in terrible weather because it's usually like kind of fall.
It's over in
mid-October. And it's over in mid-October. So like the weather is, you know, pretty nice to be outside.
No stuff to buy.
Yep.
They just go to practice and run. So they're like, whatever.
You buy shoes and that's about it. And you're like, well, they already wear shoes.
Yeah. I think that's the best. But as far as the worst, I have a really hard time. I think I consider baseball the worst just because I think the games would be boring and they play so many fucking games. And also your kids' like moments of shining whatever in baseball would be pretty low. Like half the time you're there, your kid's not even on the field.
Right.
Like they're not even, there's no possibility they're going to do anything of interest. So I think it would be, and plus I think amateur baseball is probably one of the less interesting amateur sports.
Yeah. I mean, because part of what makes, you know, baseball does work when there's sort of small advantages and surprising things, but like when, you know, there's so many little screw ups here and there. Like when so many things are won, but like so many bases are gotten by somebody overthrowing.
Sure.
You know, you're like, that's not really interesting to watch.
No.
No.
No, or like, hey, they're up against the back wall. They're not going to be able to throw it to first base. So he's going to get a single and then that's it.
I would have guessed volleyball would have been your recommendation.
Volleyball would be bad because... Well, it would constantly be me judging and being like, why are you wearing those little shorts?
Oh.
Do volleyball players, is there some kind of law that you couldn't wear?
Like pants.
Pants? Tights? Like you got to wear the shortest shorts in existence?
I don't really know what that is.
They're more scantily clad than the cheerleaders who are not there for volleyball, I would think, but... It's like, man, why? I don't understand. Like, what are you doing that you need to have that short of shorts?
Yeah, I'm not really sure. I think that's, you know, I kind of get when you're doing beach volleyball and you have a swimsuit, you know, like that at least.
Kind of, except I'm like, you're not in the water.
Right.
I understand that it's like the fashion of being on the beach, but at the same time, I'm like, do you think it would really like ruin their performance if they wore shorts?
Well, I could also see if you had something that was really tight, if you were playing on sand, it might prevent a lot of sand from getting in something. Maybe not all the sand.
I don't know.
But
I think it seems like that's just what they want to wear. And that's fine. But I'm kind of like, okay, I've worn short shorts for one thing.
Right.
And it was super long distance running. Like I'm talking 15 plus miles. And it's like, yeah, because if I didn't do that, you get the worst chafage of all time.
Mm.
So you kind of have to.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, you can just wear basketball shorts and you'll be fine.
It's why it makes sense for the Flash to have a skin tight suit.
Yeah.
You know, because also, why doesn't the Flash run naked? Think about it.
Because he's a comic book.
Oh.
And they're like, well, plus his dick would be flapping around.
You need some kind of dick control.
Have you ever seen the movie, The Basket Case?
No.
There's a part where this guy's having like a nightmare and he's slow motion running at night and his penis is just kind of pinwheeling around. And it's hilarious.
They'd call him Barry Allen, fastest dick alive.
It was, yeah. His penis would be pinwheeling around so fast it would be blowing him backwards.
Mm.
So it would counteract some of his speed. That's why I think he wears clothes.
So you'd have to wear some kind of like special thong or something.
Well, also
not
because,
a thong,
because
that would chafe real bad.
If he's like carrying a woman out of a building that's exploding, I don't know how much she would appreciate it if it was like, also he was completely nude.
And he was drenched in sweat too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So he puts her down and like, she's just covered in sweat.
Yeah. And she's like, why do I smell like balls? I wish I had just died in that building. Instead, I had the most horrific experience.
I mean, I guess I'm alive, but why?
Yeah, at what cost?
Mm-hmm.
At what cost this life?
Exactly. I could see baseball as being the worst if you were on a traveling team. Like, I was thinking, when you were talking baseball, I was thinking, like, Little League. And I was like, Little League wouldn't be so bad.
Well, here's the other thing. You talked about inclement weather.
Yeah.
I consider hot sun to be inclement weather.
That's fair.
Because I get sunburned and I don't enjoy it. So I would prefer to sit out on a chilly evening in the fall that over all day in the summer sun.
It'd be nice if someone had I guess with every sport, it would be nice if your kid was on a terrible team and not a good team.
So they just didn't play that much.
Exactly. Like, you know, football season will be done like October or November. Like, nope, done.
Yeah, but then you're like, oh my God, we drove all the way to Lawrence, Kansas for my kid to just ride the bench, barely played, struck out twice. I mean, that's a long fucking way to drive. I can see why some of these parents get all pissy.
Right.
Because I'd be like, oh God, the time and money we invested, I took my last vacation days for this. You didn't even swing at the ball.
Right.
I would be like, you better fucking swing.
If you drove all the way to Topeka, Kansas. We're always picking cities in Kansas.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, I guess Topeka might be a little bit too big, maybe. But if you drove all the way out there and they invoked the mercy rule because your kid's team was getting killed so badly.
Yeah.
Like, you'd be like, oh, well.
Thank God I did that with my life.
Right.
My life is just passing me by.
Little Dum Dum's going to learn something from this, I guess.
Well, the other thing is that sucks about baseball, I think. Okay, if you're at football, usually there's enough people there that you can just kind of be there.
Right.
I feel like with baseball, you'd run into the same parents over and over, and there's probably some who'd like want to chat and whatever, and I would just be like, oh my God, I don't want to chat with you just because we both made the mistake of having a kid in baseball.
Mm. You know what actually might be a good sport choice? Mm. Basketball.
I'm very bored by basketball.
Basket,
I have no interest in it.
Basketball can be boring, but the major advantage it has over football and baseball is that there's a pretty strict time limit.
Oh.
You know, so like the clock is going down. So once the clock goes down, you know you're done.
Yeah.
So like it's sort of like if you go into the game, you say, I'm going to be here for like, you know, there's like 30 minutes of game. I'm going to be there for like an hour. When I'm there for an hour, it's done. It's not as good as cross country, mind you, but like, basketball, if you had a big team sport, might be one of your better choices.
See, I would argue though that falls under the category I was talking about which sports suck to watch amateurs play.
Mm.
And I think watching amateur basketball, it would be pretty bad.
That would be kind of painful.
Yeah.
Maybe also thinking like basketball also tends to have snacks, but you could also bring in your own snacks. I guess that's true of a lot of sports. Like,
yeah.
You know, except cross country, no snacks.
Yeah, but I could just bring my own snacks.
That's true.
I could just be standing there eating a bag of Doritos the whole time. Like, who's going to stop me? It's just at some fucking golf course or a park or whatever. Mm-hmm. That's my best, but I think I'm going with baseball as my worst. Swimming is a close possible second. Volleyball is in there, except that's a different thing. That's more about like, why are they dressed like this? And like, what if I'm attracted to a high schooler's butt?
You have a bunch of uncomfortable feelings throughout the whole thing.
Way too many. Way too many.
I guess I would probably say for me, like, hockey is pretty high up there, but I have a bias because unlike you, I don't have a garage. So I can't like put the hockey bag in the garage and put it in the house.
As high up there as bad, you mean?
Yeah, as bad. Yeah. Like, hockey is like...
It's pretty, yeah, that's... not a good one for me either.
I mean, I feel like that would be something that would irritate all the time.
Yeah.
You know, like with the other sports, as bad as they are, they're sort of, the badness is contained.
You would just have to buy your kid a car.
Right.
And just be like, your shit just stays in your car. It's not coming in the house.
Well, at that point, you might as well tell your kid like to joke. Oh, that's when baseball becomes perfect.
when they can drive. But see,
if or no, the best way to do baseball, get them to go in someone else's RV.
Well, yeah, if they were just gone for like 3 weeks, that would be amazing. But that's probably not going to happen.
Probably not. All right, sports talk.
Yeah,
we did it. High school sports talk.
Who would have thought? And old man's.
And old man's.
Old man sports.
We went from high school kids to old men's.
Yeah.
Would you watch old men in a swim meet?
Yes.
Over, well, okay.
Yeah, if it was that or high school, abs 100%.
So what are the sports that would be made better by watching old men play, and what would be made worse? I'm going to go with football and hockey are both going to be worse with old men.
Yeah.
It's going to slow down a lot.
It's too slow and too boring and like too generic.
Basketball would be the worst.
Basketball would be bad.
Right.
Actually,
no, softball might be pretty bad too.
Softball is bad.
Right.
Because, you know, they're just standing around.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's not, I think it's got to be a little bit more of a, okay, old man track, fat old man track would be great. Like, I would watch that in a... Imagine if you were going to a thing and it was like, we're going to host a track meet.
Right.
And it's like, it's called the Bald and Fat Classic Track Meet. And so the events are like, all right, the beer mile.
Right.
Where you have to run a quarter mile and drink a beer, run the second quarter drink. So you basically have four beers and four laps to finish. I would watch that in a second.
I don't know why that doesn't already exist.
It exists, but not as like a sanctioned sport.
Right.
But it totally should be.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, like, I mean, watching an old fat guy throw the shot put would be boring, but watching old fat guys try and steeplechase would be amazing.
Oh, God.
Or like doing the hurdles.
Yeah.
I mean, that would be great. So I would do that, provided they were not in shape.
Yes.
That's what it needs to be. And also, we could cut out some, like, I don't need the 2 mile.
Yeah.
I don't need, like, the 200. You know, it's right. Like...
You don't need the sprints, the shortest sprint, or the longest run.
Well, I need the 100-meter dash.
Right.
Because you're going to see some guy give himself a double hernia, just, like, running his ass off. And, like, I need the hurdles. I need the steeplechase. I feel like pole vault, someone might die. So I would skip that. If we're going to do throws... Let's do either the javelin or the hammer throw.
Yeah.
Because that's the one where they start. No, discus.
Discus, they also do spin around a lot more.
The hammer. That's the one where they're really spinning.
Yeah.
And so it's like you're going to see some old guy eat shit and throw this basically a mace in the wrong direction. Like, that's what I'm talking about.
This mace is going to skitter across the ground and you see people jumping out of the way.
Yeah. And you're just, Uncle Steve is out there, and it's like, has he ever done this before?
You have a chain link backstop, and people are still not standing behind the chain link backstop.
Oh, fuck no.
Like the
way.
There's no judging, because it's just like, we'll just take your word for it.
Yeah. Oh, we're going to be in a bunker, right. Basically, with a slot.
There's a pillbox.
That's not big enough for
actually,
the ball
to fit.
Actually,
if you're the judge,
through.
You kind of stand way out in the main field because you're it's not getting here. It's fine.
That's true. Stand in the target area,
right.
And then you'll probably be okay. Yeah, I just think that would be an event.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little bit, I think I would enjoy that quite a bit. Other old man sports. I mean, old man swimming would be, old man diving, I'd be more into than swimming. Swimming is just like you're watching a bunch of splashes go up and down the pool. So you're like, whatever.
Old man diving would have the mix of people totally fucking something up.
Yeah.
Or them totally executing something pretty impressive. And you're like, that fat guy did 4 flips.
Now, you know what would be good is like super amateur swimming.
Mm.
So basically people who can barely swim.
Right.
And it's like they're doing the butterfly. They're doing like a 100-meter butterfly. And they're just like, they don't know what the fuck they're doing.
Everyone's doing the backstroke and like swimming and bumping into the lanes and bumping into each other.
Yeah. And like most of them start, they can't like dive in. They off the blocks. They have to like lower themselves in and then start going. Like that would be, I would definitely watch that.
The sort of, swimming for hydrophobes.
People with kickboards just kicking and going across. Like that I would watch.
I think kickboard should be an event anyway.
I just want more sports that are like entertaining. Mm. Oh, old fat guy roller derby. I would definitely watch that.
Right.
Roller derby is one of those sports where you're like, it's so interesting because every time I've gone, there's a clear mixture and clear divide between there are some participants who take it very seriously and seem fairly athletic and some who they're just like, this is just kind of an out of shape mom who showed up to our tryouts and we need, you know, fucking 50 people. So
there's, that's part of like, it feels like where the out of shapeness sort of makes it fall down quite a bit.
Yeah. And you're just like, well, I guess, you know, she had some eyeliner and fishnet stockings, so whatever.
She had a combination of eyeliner, fishnet stockings, and health insurance.
Yeah, and like some of them aren't even particularly good at roller skating.
Right.
And you're like, come on.
Well, there's a thing about like sometimes I watch roller derby and it's really like I can tell they're really good at it and they've really practiced and both teams are really good at it in practice, but then it becomes kind of boring to watch.
Yeah.
Because then it is like a sort of very technical competition.
It's, there's too many rules,
right?
And there's too much, the people who take it seriously take it way too seriously, and you're just like, oh come on. Like, yeah, it's not like very visually engaging because it's a little complicated, plus it usually just seems like every time I've gone it's a blowout.
Oh,
like one team annihilates the other team.
Well, if it's still the same thing, you probably mostly go in Greeley, right?
I was mostly going in Denver.
Oh, okay.
I only went in Greeley maybe once or twice because by then I was sort of over it because I don't know. Something about roller derby I just got tired of. I was like, this seems like a lot of chicks who are like, we're so tough. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, eh.
I think I used to go to it a lot when I lived here.
Yeah.
But it was like, it was one of those, it was a thing to do.
Yeah.
But I can kind of agree where I watched it and it was kind of a blowout.
Yeah.
I've gone in Arizona once or twice, but it's always with somebody who's never been to it before.
Yeah.
And one of the things I learned eventually was I have to almost get them to like watch that part of Whip It or like get the Wikipedia thing, 'cause I hate having to explain it.
Yeah. It's kind of hard to explain. It's a little too complicated. They need to simplify it somehow.
It's one of the things that like, the explanation has a sort of irreducible complexity. In that, like, you can't make it more simple. Like, you say, look, this is just how it is. If you're not grasping this concept, I can't explain it to you in a more simple way. You just have to watch and figure, you know, and kind of figure out how all this works.
Yeah.
Or just get another beer.
Yeah.
And...
That's what I always suggest, is just like, just have like 3 beers before it even starts and just go with it.
Right.
I think the other thing that roller derby needs more, there's not really like a ton of different apparent strategies, I think, because the field is so limited in size.
Yes.
Like it's just this ring. You can only go one direction, really.
Mm-hmm.
There's not much width. So it's just like, and you have to travel in the same direction. So there's not like a ton of different, it's not, you know, football. It's like you could go back, you could go to the side, you can go forward. Different people can be doing really different things, and that makes it interesting. Like maybe roller derby needs to be more like, what is that called? Death roller race. Ball.
Oh, roller ball.
Yeah, like I think there needs to be a ball. I think that needs to happen.
I mean, I think part of it is that roller derby is either, you know, your strategy is either defensive or offensive.
Yeah.
And like defensive strategies in almost every sport are boring to watch.
Yeah. And roller derby is like super boring because the defense is like skate really slow until they get close to you and then try and sort of backwards sort of like hip check them.
Maneuver them into hip checking them or cutting a corner. Like you're sort of baiting them into a fall. But that's exactly what I was talking about where when it's very technical, at a high level, it's kind of dull to watch.
Yeah.
When people are really bad at it, it's dull to watch too. There's like a sweet spot in the middle of like a really, two really good amateur teams.
Yeah.
And also, I will probably say I kind of like it when it breaks out into a fist fight, which has only happened once.
I've never seen a roller derby fist fight.
And that's kind of, you know, that's where a lot of movies have misrepresented how many fist fights break out
in
roller derby. It's not that often.
No.
But I think it's sort of like when there's fighting, it does feel like they kind of care a little bit. Or at least it was something that happened. But anyway, roller derby, on the other hand, if I had a kid that was in roller derby, I probably would say, not what I would prefer, but I'd take that. I'd be like, fine. You know,
that would be fine.
That would be one of those mid-level.
Yeah, that's fine. It wouldn't be super exciting, but there's usually beer.
Right.
And also, I guess it's like, I don't know. But yeah, it would be a little bit, the only thing for me would be kind of a groaner when they're all like, ooh, what's your roller derby name? And you're like, oh God.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. They do like roller derby. Let's see if I look up roller derby names.
Roller derby name generator.
Roller derby names. Like Agatha Crushdy. Hermione Danger. Pain Air. Alice in Wounderland.
Did you look up literary?
It just literary did bring up literary. That's weird. And
your Google results know what you're looking for. You were looking for book-related ones, you book nerd.
This is like an extremely, you know, whatever. Ginger Neck Snap. Come on. Lord of the Rink. Gorticia Adams. There's like a weird goth thing happening with roller derby too.
Sure.
I don't understand how those two things became the same, but whatever.
I think it's just something associated with being, you know, I think you start with like death names and sort of like the goth things feel sort of adjacent.
Well, the style of dress is very gothy. It's like, it seems like ladies who didn't play sports and stuff.
Right.
And then found this sport later in life. But it's like, well, maybe they didn't play sports because they were like too busy listening to Cure albums or something.
They were listening to him.
Yeah, something. Yeah. It's strange.
Mm-hmm.
It's a subculture that I don't fully understand.
It's a subculture you don't fully understand, and I don't think you want to.
No.
You're like, you're good.
Yeah, I'm not against it. I just don't care.
Right. It's just not your thing.
Like many things. Right. I just really don't care.
But you know what is your thing and you do care about?
No.
You care about giving good financial advice to your listeners.
Oh, my God. I was like, do I have a sound effect for that, for money?
Money, 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 money.
I should, right?
Money. I think this is probably like the fourth time I've sung that song on this podcast. If you write in to Helpful Snowman at helpfulsnowman.com and can list all of the episodes, Peter will totally send you a fabulous prize.
List all the episodes where you've done that?
Yeah.
There you go. That's a Price is Right thing. That's like money.
That's when you make that. So part of it is, you know, as you're getting toward 400 episodes and more than 400 episodes.
Yeah.
Beyond toward, yeah, it's 402. But one of the things we have to think about with the show is that we want to make sure there's always a good place for new listeners to hop on board. Because after 400 episodes, you get like a rich mythology.
Okay.
You know, rich backstories and histories for all of your guests.
Sure.
You know, and that can be intimidating to a new listener. So we didn't want to do something that was too inside.
Oh, I see. Right. Okay.
And yes. So we're returning, we're going back to roots. We're going back to what Helpful Snowman is all about.
The movie?
Yes, we're going to
episode by episode breakdown of Roots.
Yes,
based on the novel by Alex Haley, starring LeVar Burton.
Yes,
as young Kunta Kinte.
We're going to watch it on many VHS tapes.
Yeah,
as the filmmakers intended.
Do you think? I mean, that has to have been released on DVD at some point, right?
I imagine there's going to be a Blu-ray as well.
Roots DVD. I wonder. Do you think it's on like one DVD? I mean,
it's on multiple Blu-rays.
Yeah, how many discs? Oh my God. Well, it's $50.
Oh, okay.
Also, Todd Bridges was in it. I didn't know that. 8-part miniseries on 3 discs. But let's see, is there a Blu-ray?
Is there a Blu-ray? Does Sony care about Roots Black history?
Blu-ray.
That's really what we're asking here.
Oh, yep.
Yep. Okay.
There sure is. Now, is it on one disc? That's the real question. Does it say?
Does it say, like, does it? Is it on one disc or is it on multiple discs?
It looks like multiple discs based on the customer images.
Oh.
Images. Feeling deceived. Oh, they bought a scratched up DVD.
Someone's
That's
mad
bullshit.
That they bought a scratched up DVD. They're leaving some... I think someone whipped this DVD thinking it's, you're not Roots, you're Green Book.
Oh, wait a minute.
Your name is Green Book. Roots.
Green Book. Oh, okay. The 25th anniversary edition were double-sided discs, so it was difficult to figure out which gift you were on. So this is a better version.
So like, oh, so they were double-sided discs. So you had to figure out, like, if you were trying to start it, like, which, it was hard to figure out, like, where to start.
I think so. I think, you know, that classic thing that I do, which is like, okay, I have like a Stallone collection.
Right.
And it's like, okay, this side says The Specialist. Now, if I put that side down, because that's the side the DVD player is reading.
Right.
Is that the, does that mean I'm watching The Specialist? Or if it's saying Over the Top.
Right.
On the top. Am I watching that if it's on top or on bottom?
Because
like, is the label on the opposite side of the movie that it's labeling?
Is the label on the same side as the data for the film?
Yeah.
Or is the label supposed to be like when it's facing up,
yeah,
the data for the movie is facing down?
Now, I'm like 99% sure that when the label is up, the disc is down.
Right.
So whichever label you're looking at when you put it in the DVD player, but this becomes extra complicated, like if you have an Xbox 360 that stands up vertically.
Oh, no.
And you're like, oh my God, well, how the hell would I know? Yeah. Anyway.
All right.
So, back to our roots or something.
We're back to our roots. And, you know, we figured...
Which, if you can't tell, is screwing around.
That's true. I mean, if there's anything that is really the core of this show, it is... talking about nothing.
Is Roots on DVD and Blu-ray.
Complaining about things. But we figured we'd make these questions. Not just any questions. We wanted to sort of put them together with a theme. And we thought the theme today would be financial advice.
Oh, right.
Yeah. Because Helpful Snowman is going to help you with your financial concerns.
Okay.
All right. So
here we go.
I've got some financial questions for you.
Okay.
You know, they're really directed at you, even though they came from Yahoo Answers.
All right.
So, first off, how can I borrow $1,000? Hey, what are some ways I can borrow $1,000? I'm out of work right now, and I need it urgently to pay a fee for school ASAP. I'll be able to pay it back.
I don't know if you need $1,000 for school. What are they going to do? Not let you go to class? Like get a security guard that says you can't go?
Mm-hmm.
And the fuck, it's not like the professor knows.
Oh, yeah. We do not know if you've paid or not.
Would you have any idea?
I think.
Would you even be able to access that information if you wanted to?
No.
Yeah. So, like, I would say don't fucking worry about it. Just go to class and figure out, just pretend like the finance part of school is completely separate from the school part.
Now, I could say that, you know, sometimes if you don't pay those fees, eventually you just get dropped from those classes.
Sure.
But that's one of the things that when I pay my fees as a student, like I get 10 emails and I get emails over and over and over again. So it's never going to be a surprise.
No. And also, I just, you know, sometimes when people are like that, I'm like, are you going to treat paying your buddy back with the urgency that you would have
paying the school?
Because if not, then you just need to pay the school.
All right. So let's say you had to get the $1,000 really fast for reasons.
What's a fast way to get, the fastest way I could think to get $1,000?
To get $1,000 from...
I mean, without like knocking over a convenience store or something.
Well, that's coming with our next question.
Okay. Well, let's assume this is by legal means.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you're using it to go to school, right? It's like, well, I would, okay. First thing is, I know this doesn't sound like it's going to get you $1,000, but like reduce your budget. Like what's your monthly nut, right? Like what do you need to survive for the month?
Right.
And what exists outside of that?
Mm-hmm.
Like if you're in college and you're paying for internet at home, you might be a fool because like, do you really need it? If you're going to be there and like just do your homework at school and whatever.
Do your homework at McDonald's?
Yeah. But then the other thing, I guess you could try and sell some shit. I don't know if you have anything of value.
It'd be hard. I was thinking about this the other day that I realized I could probably get together $1,000 of value by selling stuff other than my car.
Yeah.
But I'd have to kind of sell a lot of things
to
get there.
It would be difficult.
Right.
I don't know. Probably just ask your parents.
Yeah.
I mean, that's probably the sad truth of it, is the best way to do it is to just tell your parents and then be like, I'll pay you back. And you might not even have to pay them back. They might die. You never know.
So basically, the best way to do it is to get someone to loan you the money, then kill them. Then you don't have to pay them back.
Not kill them, but like, you got a sick grandma who's not doing too hot. You know, maybe that's the person to borrow your money from.
Make friends with cancer patients.
This is like one of my top 10 advices if I'm doing my, what's that guy's name? Dave Kramer, whatever.
Dave Ramsey.
Who's Jim Cramer?
Jim Cramer's the crazy stock guy. Sell.
Okay. Dave Ramsey. It's like, if you're going to borrow money from family, look for someone who's not doing too hot health-wise and see if you could borrow from them. Increases your chances you'll never have to pay him back.
Fan of the show, Jen, would love to have this podcast become a Dave Ramsey crossover episode.
Should I just, I should just take a Dave Ramsey episode and take all the calls.
Yes.
And then I will just answer the calls.
That would probably get you way more Patreon money.
I don't know how Dave Ramsey would feel about that.
Well, Dave Ramsey would have to find out about it first. I mean, he's also really into Jesus, so maybe he would forgive you.
Well, I would hope so.
Yeah. All right. Next question from your fans on Yahoo Answers.
Okay.
Is making $18 an hour enough to consider yourself successful? Is that a good income?
I mean, it's not bad.
Yeah.
But it's not amazing. It's probably lower middle class, I would guess. Because, I mean, minimum wage is like, what, $11 or something?
Yeah.
I mean, so to be making 18 is probably not. But, I mean, this is very age dependent.
Right.
You know, if you're making $18 and you're 15 years old, yes, you're doing fucking great. I remember we both had a job briefly over Christmas break where we were making $10 an hour.
Yes.
And that was double minimum wage at the time. Mm-hmm. And it seemed like an insane amount. Like, I almost didn't believe they were actually going to pay us that much.
Like, until the paychecks showed up, you didn't believe you were getting paid that much.
I don't know if we ever told this story on this show before. So, it was supposed to be a two-week job.
Oh, I think we have, but it's worth telling again because there's new fans. This is for the new fans.
So, it was supposed to be a two-week job working at a tech help thing. So, basically, people would call in and whatever. And we were troubleshooting these horribly shitty Polaroid digital cameras.
Yes.
Like, this was probably in 1997, 1998. So, $30 Polaroid camera. Basically, every question was, why do my pictures look like shit?
Right.
And it's because you bought a $30 Polaroid digital camera in 1998.
It's sort of like, this was a very early, these were very early digital cameras, and these particular digital cameras were made to be really cheap for Christmas time. On the idea that Polaroid would sell a whole bunch of digital cameras at Christmas and then be like, oh, sorry, no refunds.
Well, and like the quality of the pictures was not horrible for digital at the time.
Right.
But like imagine like your flip phone, if it had a little camera on it, that's basically, it would be a tiny little electronic picture. And also it's like, now what do I do with this? Because this was not a time when, you know, everyone had a phone.
Right.
Okay, so we get this job and it's supposed to be 2 weeks. The first week is training.
Yes.
Then Christmas hits. Then you come back and you're troubleshooting these things. So, among other, you know, entertaining things, like, it was me and you, and then my future roommate and his brother and sister were all going. So we all would show up there at like ungodly early.
I think our mother was there as well for this one.
No.
That was a different StarTech thing.
No, that can't be true.
Oh, no,
I remember that.
I had a different job, summer job, where she also worked there.
Weird.
Yeah.
So we'd get there ungodly early, sit in this class, and it was just so dumb. And all we were talking about is how we were going to quit.
Right.
And I remember my future roommate, Travis, drew this great comic that I laughed. I still remember it and laughed my ass off, which was, he drew a picture of a dum-dum, like a sucker, and put an arrow and it was like them. And then a picture of like stick figures running out of the building with a bunch of money and it said us. And I just never, it's like a Looney Tunes thing where they turn into a big sucker, but I'd never seen anyone. So anyway, we're all kind of just, most of us, except for two of the other siblings, had decided, like, we're going to quit.
Right.
We're going to do the training and then quit, because it's like, we don't want to work the entire fucking break.
We also kind of realized, like, we had no training on this particular product whatsoever.
Oh, it was horrible.
We didn't have a database to draw from to answer questions, and we didn't even get to see the camera we were supposed to be working with until about... We saw it for part of one day.
Yeah.
There were entire days where our trainers didn't actually show up.
Well, and then, like, you know, but I'm not going to put it on that. I mean, it was a total bullshit operation.
Right. It was.
But also, I had no intention of staying because I was like, listen, we get like 2 weeks off for Christmas break. I'm not going to work the whole time. That's insane.
And we kind of realized, you know, I had realized that I didn't really want to spend my Christmas break being yelled at over the phone.
Fuck no.
For problems that are unfixable.
And so, like, we made it to, well, okay, so then you were supposed to take a test.
Right.
To determine, like, whether or not you were ready to troubleshoot. And they literally told us, like, it doesn't matter what you put because everyone passes. You know, like, the trainers were just like, fuck it. You might as well, whatever. So then we're walking out, and me and Travis are like, well, should we call in tonight and quit? Should we call in like tomorrow or what should we do? And you were like, I already quit. And we were like, what are you talking about? Because we'd all just sat in the room together, silently took this test and walked out. And so it was like, if you'd quit, it would have been really obvious. And you were like, I wrote on my test that I have an illness and I'm getting exponentially sicker. And so I won't be able to return to work.
That's right. I quit right there.
Yeah, by writing it on the test.
I wanted to see, I wound up seeing if I could actually fail this test by quitting on the test.
The biggest question is, did they even know? Like, or did they just basically, you didn't show up the next 2 days and they're like, eh, fuck it. Like, who cares?
I think that they didn't get, I don't remember if I got paid for the days or not. But
you, yeah, definitely did. Because we got paid for the training days.
I got paid for the training days, but like, I didn't know if I, like, they, you know, graded the test and realized I had quit.
Yeah, who knows? And then we called in, I think we worked one day after that, where we did what they called buddy jacking, which is hilarious. And it's like, one of you does the computer side of things and the other one talks on the phone.
Mm-hmm.
So Travis made me talk on the phone, but then we just did things like, because I didn't know what the fuck was wrong with people's cameras. So I was like, that sounds like it might be a cable. So let's order you a new cable. And Travis would type in the work order system and be like, needs a big, juicy cable. And like, I'd be sitting there trying to talk to this person. But then the other thing, I must have told a dozen people that day to go ahead and defragment their hard drive and that would fix it.
I had worked at this particular place had a whole bunch of those sort of call center accounts for different companies.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd worked there previously for some really bad printers.
Mm-hmm.
That was also kind of like where I knew what I was getting into a little bit.
Yeah.
But I remember telling people to defragment their hard drive was always a thing that was people would say, like, just to get them off the phone.
Well, because you know it's going to take, so you work an 8-hour shift.
Right.
And you're like, odds on at the time, it's like someone's going to defragment their hard drive. It's going to take 4 to 6 hours for sure.
It's why I hated working. It's the only bad part about working the night shift, like the latest shift that was available, was everyone who had been told to defragment their hard drive came back.
Well, yeah, of course, like, they're going to call back later and be like, I did that. It didn't do anything.
Right.
But it's like, they don't fucking know.
Mm-hmm.
And you're just like, well, that's the steps.
Exactly.
But anyway, that was one of the best quittings ever.
I'm exponentially getting sicker.
Yeah. Exponentially sicker. I remember just hearing that and I was like, that's the stupidest thing I've ever heard. And you just quit by writing it on the test.
I feel like it was resourceful. I used what was available to me.
I guess so. I mean, it's like dropping a class in college by like your first quiz and you just write on the quiz that you're like, I'm dropping this class by. Right.
I think that our mom was not happy with us quitting at the time.
I don't remember that, but I also wouldn't have cared because I was like, whatever.
I think she had a later job at the same sort of call center, different account.
Uh-huh.
And she was going to try to stick it out a little longer and then absolutely quit about the same time. So it's kind of like she was like, after that, she's like, oh, right. This is terrible.
It's a terrible place to work. Call centers are pretty bad.
Call center jobs feel like they are always kind of bad jobs. They like take the worst part of like a blue collar office job or like a white collar office job.
Mm.
And then it's just miserable. You're stuck somewhere all the time. Call center jobs can be fun if you have your friends there and you don't have to take any calls.
Yeah.
But that would be great.
Well, sure. Any job's great if you don't have to work.
All right.
So, the other thing I would tell that person for $1,000, just do like Uber Eats or Order Up or something if you've got a car.
Right.
Because you're putting wear and tear on your car for the short term gain. But if you did that for a month, I bet you could raise $1,000.
I'd go with regular pizza delivery, probably more money.
No, because then you got to like actually get a job and you have to like fill out a W-2. You have to do all this crazy shit and it's going to take way too long.
All right. Next question. This is a, does this qualify a switch in bait? So that's the overall question.
All right.
All right. I ordered some ice pop from an online retailer and it says 3-ounce sticks. When I received it, it says 2.5 ounces on the package. So the entire package is about 20 ounces less than advertised. So what should I do?
How is that 20 ounces less? Oh, all of them together?
Yeah, all of them together. Like since it's 1/2 ounce smaller on each one. It winds up being like if there's 40 or so ice pops in there,
just eat two. Just eat two every time and give it a 1-star review.
Mm.
Done.
Sort of like, don't fight this too hard.
No.
Because the best answer, by the way, in case you're curious how other people are answering it, complain, but don't expect to get too far unless you complain to a governing agency. I would love to see a governing agency to be like, You got ripped off your ice pops by 1/2 ounce. How many helicopters do you want?
Yeah. Well, I think there's a thing too about sometimes it's like worth your time to pursue these things, but sometimes I'm like, you know, it's just like a moral stance at that point, right? Because it's like, well, obviously, how much did a box of, you know, whatever, 40 ice pops cost you?
Right.
$10. So you're like, well, I'm pursuing a $2.50, basically.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that is not, it wasn't even, it was, you'd already got a bad return on your investment just posting the question.
Mm.
So obsessing over that, I heard this guy, he was like some other guy giving financial advice, but I kind of agreed with it, which is he's like, you know, I try to think of my time as money and like, I set a very high actual dollar amount for what I think my time is worth. And so if I'm not going to earn or earn back like that amount, I don't even do it. And if your time is worth like $2.50 for an hour,
right,
then you're probably not.
Whatever you write out to the bad choice. To find the right governing agency.
Yeah.
It's usually not going to be worth it. All right. Next question.
Okay.
All right. How do I legally rob a bank?
Okay. I was telling Poon Master Flex, there was this story that I heard many years ago on another podcast, and I don't remember how it all worked, but basically Wells Fargo had screwed over this guy and he put some kind of a lien on their property and then ended up owning the bank, like the property of the bank.
Oh.
And they had to and he foreclosed on them. So it was, I can't remember. Here's what I remember, because the guy was like a weird vampire man. Vampire man forecloses.
So Alucard.
Wells Fargo.
Manages to close down a bank, like forecloses on a bank.
Yeah, Philadelphia man forecloses on Wells Fargo. Vampire turns table on Wells Fargo and forecloses on them. So yeah, basically he did some kind of a, you know, he's like, oh, there's these legal deeds you can do and blah, blah, blah. And then you can basically foreclose on the bank. So is that robbing a bank? Kinda.
So you kind of like, his plan was to like foreclose on the bank, maybe evict the bank.
Yeah, he evicted them.
And he evicted them. And if they didn't come and claim their property in a certain amount of time.
Well, I don't think he actually earned any money from this. I think he fucked them over because, well, they fucked with him.
Right.
And so then he was like, all right, well, I'll fuck with you then.
Right.
But, I mean, if you're talking about a legal way to like walk out of a bank with a bunch of money,
mm-hmm.
I mean,
like he evicts them from the bank, they got to surrender all of the keys to all of the safe deposit boxes.
All right.
Yeah.
Here's what you do. I think, well, it's not legal.
Okay.
So I don't know. There's no answer to that. I think a good scheme.
Right.
Do you remember like several years ago, there was a guy who like robbed a bank, but he had this like weird thing around his neck that turned out to be an explosive. And it, he was saying that he basically was a pizza delivery guy.
Right.
And he went to someone's house and they put this thing on his neck. It was a bomb. And it was like locked around his head. And they told him he had to go rob this bank or they'd blow his head off. And I think eventually they did explode the thing and it killed him.
Mm-hmm.
So that seems like the way to go. Because it's like, I don't know how the end game works where you like leave the bank and then they're just like, okay, see you later.
Right.
But that seems like the strongest possibility of maybe working out for you.
That if you say like, if you sort of pretend like you're being put up to it.
Yeah, you're like, I have no choice.
Like, and then they sort of comply and they may call the cops or do something. But if you manage to get away.
Yes. Yeah. And maybe if you have a Confederate who's like on the phone and is also like, cops back off or I will blow his fucking head off.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe you put like a little one on a prairie dog hill or something and blow apart a prairie dog as a demo of like, this is what'll happen to this guy's head.
This is a small demonstration of my power.
Very small. But you get the idea. Yeah. This is very small, but very cruel demonstration of what will happen.
It was very difficult to do. It was much harder to get it on the prairie dog than it was on a pizza man.
Yeah.
You wouldn't think so, but prairie dogs are fast.
Yeah, so you could do something like that.
Maybe we should get prairie dogs to deliver pizza. They're faster.
No.
Oh.
No. Don't they have bubonic plague?
Well, okay, discount pizza.
And rabies.
Double discount pizza.
So does probably those Totino's. Yeah, I mean, 10 for a dollar pizzas.
Yeah, like you're getting the Jack's Frozen Pizza, the Walmart brand.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Again, there's such a thing as too cheap,
mm-hmm.
where you're like, just don't eat it. Just eat oatmeal.
I had some students who had actually done a little bit of an in-class research thing because I showed them a picture of Jack's Pizza and they didn't believe it existed.
Uh-huh.
They did a research thing about who owned it.
Uh-huh.
And it's like multiple shell companies.
Yeah.
It's been transferred around as a bit of property.
Yeah.
And they were like, that. It had an amazing business history.
Well, I'm sure it makes money because, I mean, it's like, well, you're like, how could you make any money off of selling $1 frozen pizzas? And it's like, well, if you put 15 cents of ingredient into it.
You see, you just have to lower the amount you invest into making it.
That's right.
Enough.
And then, you know, as technology advances, it gets cheaper and cheaper.
You have to basically figure out what the FDA guidelines are for it to count as food.
Yeah. Can it be in the food aisle or does it go into the hardware aisle?
Right. The novelties aisle.
Yeah.
That's partly where it does. Like sometimes, you know, can you put it with a frozen pizza or do you put it with it frozen novelties?
Pizza for novelty purposes only, not to be eaten.
The frozen novelties, which does have this sort of ice pops where you're like, that's barely food.
It is hilarious they have a section called that
because
they're like, this doesn't even, we won't even put this with like fucking crazy ice creams. You're like, no, this is Dippin' Dots. And you're like, what is that? And they're like, we don't know.
We don't know.
It's a novelty.
Ice pops, novelty.
Just enjoy it. Yeah.
It's got sugar, we think.
Got a picture of an otter and a beret on it. Just eat it.
Mm-hmm. All right. We'll do this as our last question.
Okay.
All right. Is your dream is your dream job McDonald's?
No. Why is there more to that question?
Nope, that's it.
No. And I don't know if anyone's dream job is McDonald's.
I guess the one person who said that it might have been was someone who's disabled and can't really work at all. But
does that make it your dream job or your realistic job?
I think it's probably the realistic. It's like, It might be the kind of job of where you have your fantasy job or your fantasy thing.
Yeah.
And then you have the aspirational thing of like, this is the thing I want to get and I could get if I worked really hard at it. And the fantasy is the thing you just couldn't get.
Yeah. I mean, I think to say your dream job precludes like, you know, okay, if I said like my dream home is a 2-bedroom condo with bathrooms attached to each bedroom and the bedrooms are of a decent size. That's not my dream home, but that's my like attainable dream home.
That's your achievable.
Yeah, home. But that's your, not my dream.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, is your dream thing achievable?
I mean, my dream home would be a similar condo, but with its own lazy river, which is impossible.
Yeah, right.
Like
exactly.
A practically sized condo with an impractically sized lazy river that I can float in.
Exactly.
And also
it's like,
bathe.
Okay, now it's a dream because that's not going to happen. Mm-hmm. Or it's like, that would be difficult to attain.
Well, way to crush my dreams, Peter. Way to crush my dreams.
Well, that's why dreams exist. It's to be crushed.
The Helpful Snowman is not just about giving advice for your financial woes, but about crushing your dreams as well into a fine powder, which he sells on helpfulsnowman.com.
It's important as a human to have dreams and a rock bottom.
Yes.
And then find a living space in the middle.
Usually somewhere standing kind of slightly above the rock bottom.
Yeah. I mean, you want to be more on the dream side than the rock bottom side, but you got to have the poles.
Exactly.
If your dream is just like, I don't know, it would be nice to be able to eat Subway once a week. Then it's like, that's like the...
you can dream a little bigger, buddy.
Yeah. I mean, feel free to dream bigger and shoot for that as your reality.
Right.
I mean, come on.
At least shoot for twice a week, maybe three times.
Well, I would say shoot for Subway none times a week, but that's me.
Probably also fair.
Make a sandwich at home.
Mm-hmm.
Dream big.
being able to make your own sandwich.
Yeah, that's made of identifiable foods.
Right.
Like if you did a blind taste test of Subway bread, I think you'd be like, I don't know, like a air puffed crouton? Like what is this?
Well, it's a yoga mat.
Yeah, something.
You know, it does have the chemicals in it that are used in yoga mats.
Some kind of insulation filler foam. Something. I don't know what this is.
It is legally bread somehow.
I always want to go to Subway like when they're like, we have breakfast, which I find repulsive.
Sure.
But and just be like, can I get like a foot long scrambled eggs and bacon? Do you remember when Subway used to cut the wedge out of the top of the bread? And they cut like a V-shaped wedge out of the top and then put all the things in so that when you were eating it in the normal human style, you would get a bite of everything that was on it. Mm. That's when they were sandwich artists.
Right.
That required some level of skill.
They had to be able to do something. Yeah. So that way you could get that first bite would always be a good bite.
Every bite would be all the things. Instead, they build it sideways. So you're like, well, all of this is on side A and all of this is on side B. So it's like I'm eating the meat on side A and the toppings on side B. That's dumb.
You kind of get the hit single on one side, and then you get the sort of also ran weird thing on the other side of like, I'm getting my roast beef. I'm getting my lettuce, get my onions. And then on the next side, you're like, I got olives, I guess, and like some dressing.
Yeah, and like they're like, do you want like this on there? And I'm like, I guess, you know, okay, I'll put some ranch on there. And then you're eating it and you're like, well, the way this was organized, I would not have gotten ranch if I was knowing I would just be eating ranch on bread.
I'm basically like, could I just get some ranch and some bread and I'll just dip the bread into ranch?
In some ways I've given up as a person,
right?
But not on the level of I'm eating ranch bread as a choice.
As an adult, you're like, I'm going to get some carrot sticks to dip into this ranch dressing.
Like a real some person. Kind of a vegetable.
Right.
To at least sort of excuse the fact that I'm eating
basically ranch dressing.
Savory whipped cream.
Like, that's right.
Well, excellent.
All right.
I think we did it.
We did some financial advising.
Thanks for bringing these questions.
Yeah.
I'll have to look into David Ramsey.
Yeah.
Does he ever go by David? Is he like Relatable Dave?
He's Relatable Dave.
That makes sense. I figured.
You're going to have, you know, fan of the show, Jen, is going to, you know, that might be a difficult episode for her to hear because she loves Dave Ramsey.
What if my advice is just as good as Dave Ramsey?
Well, then she'll just have to start listening to you.
I guess that's more. Probably not a hypothetical we should worry about.
I mean, sure. Well, you gotta have fantasies and dreams.
What if I'm real fucking smart and good at money?
Yeah.
Well, that'll probably work out. Yeah. All right. We'll see you next time.
See ya later.